Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift, and we have to get right this weekend. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. I am a Gabby award-winning producer. He is the All-American national champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson. He is an Eagles fan and a creepy waiver, yet he works on the Atlanta Falcons radio network, and he is my guy. Little brother, Dylan, Dylon Matthews, and his creepy wave, too. We are missing the first lady of Atlanta baseball, the tofu taster, the queen of improv. So shout out to Miss Allie Mack. We are missing her. She did put down that recap for us, and we always appreciate that. We miss her, and we'll have her back on Monday. Cannot wait to hopefully be talking about a Falcons win.
Yeah, little boys club Friday.
And I would just like to say real quick, I am a Falcons fan, despite Bo's false narrative. Back to y'all.
Okay, I need the producer to turn that gas microphone off. Hey, Mike, real quick, of the headlines, we have a huge show. First off, we have a huge show.
Huge show.
It is a very big weekend in Atlanta sports as far as what we have going with Georgia starting Saturday, hosting Alabama. And I do believe that's a blackout game, right?
That's what I've been told. Have we confirmed that?
Well, I heard Barbara Dooley. Okay. Talking about it yesterday on Dukes and Bell on her weekly Thursday appearance at, I believe, 3:40 every day. Georgia Tech travels to Wake Forest hoping to stay undefeated. And then we have here Atlanta, 1 o'clock, Washington versus Atlanta. And I didn't even talk about the LSU Ole Miss game and the Penn State-Oregon game, some of the other big games that we'll all probably be watching on TV. But before we go any further, Mike, we do have an Arch at 8:20 to break down Falcons-Washington. But a quick catch of the headlines. Last night, the Seahawks walk it off against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Pretty dramatic. I watched parts of that game and woke up for the last 5 minutes, which was very dramatic. Jaden Daniels, limited participant in practice yesterday. Well, maybe we'll see him. Something you and I are both excited about, and I left out the Ryder Cup.
I was about to bring the sledgehammer at you. I was like, please God.
I was gonna get
tell
to
me
it.
You're talking about Ryder Cup in just a minute.
I was gonna get to it. The Ryder Cup starts today. I have a Ryder Cup vest.
We got like an hour.
Yeah, I know. We've got three TVs, and
yes.
One of which is ridiculously on the Major League Baseball Network TV station. That will be changed. But
it's left over from Grant.
Ryder Cup starts today. And something I'm really excited about, really happy about, and it makes me feel good, especially in the kind of season the Braves have. Charlie Morton has rejoined the Braves. I think we've probably glossed over a little bit. There's been so much more happening with the football teams in the city and the state. But he's going to make the season finale start against the Pittsburgh Pirates, also a team that he played for during his career. In fact, I believe the team that he left Atlanta for when he was shipped out of Atlanta, he went to Pittsburgh immediately in the final game of his career, seemingly. And what's going to happen here is he's going to start it, I'm assuming pitch an inning, the first inning, and then I figure he'll come out and start.
Oh, no kidding.
No, start the second inning, and then Chris Sale is going to relieve him. That's what I'm assuming, is that they'll allow him to be taken out of the game so he can have his moment. But he's going to start the game, and then Chris Sale is going to take over for him at some point.
Yeah.
I hope they let him do an inning unless it looks shaky. Maybe a batter. But I'm obviously not going to be able to watch how this plays out.
Yep.
Unless I pull my iPad up in between Arch and Wes during the game Sunday. But I'm really, really glad that they did this. I think it's such a great move, and it's the right thing to do for a guy that not only helped you get a world title, but was drafted by the organization, made his start, you know, first starts here, and was a big part of this second run that we've seen. You know, I say second run, but this this run that we've seen lately.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And not to get off on a tangent here, but it is Boys Club today, so I get to talk about this if I want to. I actually had this happen in a way when I was at Bama. Saban did this thing where our last home game, we were playing Tennessee Chattanooga. We were playing Auburn on the road for the season finale, and he did this thing where he made sure that the offensive line started the next drive and got to be pulled off the field one by one on the final drive of our season at home, which was really, really cool for me, man.
Yeah, like senior day.
Yeah, it's senior day, and you go out there, and one by one, like you run a play, and the left tackle come out. And then you run another play, and the left guard come out, and all the way down, and we got a chance to kind of just have that. It's funny because I don't think the crowd understood what was happening for like the first two. And then all of a sudden, it was like one by one, people are being pulled off the field from the huddle.
Were you the
crowd
last guy?
Kind of catches on? No. No, I can't remember who was, to be honest.
Oh, shame on Nick. You were the captain, the All-American, no, fifth-year senior.
I mean, maybe I was. I don't even remember. I just know that we were kind of working our way down the line of scrimmage, which was really, really cool, man. So, yeah, that's going to be a cool scene for Charlie Morton. Hopefully the Braves can end the season on a strong note this weekend. And get things rolling in the right direction, man. But you're right. We got a loaded show today. We do have the 7:10 tee time. John Rahm, Ricky Hatton against Bryson DeChambeau, and the Tide Pride, Justin Thomas, which will be – we got 1 hour, dude. Like almost on the dot.
That group has got a lot more personality than people will give it credit for, because we know about Hatton and Rahm.
Yep.
And the way they are. They're fiery guys. But think about – you know, Bryson, who is really kind of came out of that awkward shell that he was in early in his career to have a pretty good personality, along with Justin Thomas, who is extremely competitive.
Yeah.
And is not afraid to, you know, drop some expletives on the golf course, and Rahm as well. So that's a, you know, you said it was Boys Club. Can I go here?
Go ahead, man.
Did you guys see the pictures of the dinner?
Oh, yeah. Very strong.
With spouses.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time.
He might not be winning lately on the course, but I'm going to tell you something. John Rahm.
I agree.
He won the grand. He won the Grand Slam of majors already.
Good for him.
He's winning that life.
Yeah, good for him, man. I agree with you. So that'll be fun to kind of keep tabs on. We got so much stuff to get to, like you said, man, in terms of you know, the Falcons game against the Commanders. A lot of thoughts. I want to play some Jeff Ulbrich in just a little bit, and he's talking about the defense. But first, I do want to talk more about the college football weekend coming up, because I do think that there's so many matchups. And, you know, I brought this question up to Pat Forty, talking to him when he had him on the show, and I said, if you had one you could watch this weekend, which one's it going to be? And he just said straight up, I had my option, and we picked Georgia-Alabama to be that game. Now, I do think that there's so many different things. Separation Saturday, I do think that when it comes to Ole Miss, LSU, we're going to find out a lot about both squads. I'm a huge fan of LSU's defense. Have you heard the comment, and I think this was Kublik that brought this up. He was talking about how Blake Baker, the defense coordinator from LSU, straight up tells his players that they're in a contract year. He's like, dude, you're in a contract year. You want to get paid? You want to make money as a college football player, NIL, all this other stuff? You better go out there and show out. And I'm like, what? Like, dude, that blew my mind. I was like, man, that is crazy to think about. But I also understand it as a motivation tactic for kids that are 20 years old. It's like, dude, you think you're just gonna walk through this thing and make money and transfer somewhere? You want to make money? Go out there and perform on the field. They'll have their their work cut out for them with Trinidad Chambliss, which is a top five name. Trinidad Chambliss will be starting quarterback for LSU.
Did you see the report that apparently came from Ryan McGee about Florida? And no. I know we're jumping all over, but it just, when you talked about the 1 year thing, apparently that boosters had Lane Kiffin hired by November of last year.
I believe that.
And Scott Strickland stepped in and was like, Billy Napier's our coach next year. By November of next year. Do I believe it?
Do you like that? Would you have liked that? Which side are you on in that conversation?
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
like 100%, like I'm not going to have revisionist.
Don't use hindsight. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to have revisionist history. I'm going to be straight up. Yeah. Last year, I'd have told you, I'm sick of this. Like, we need to wait. Let Lagway get time with Napier. Let's figure this out.
Sure.
And I was right last year. I was right because he turned it around. My hindsight?
Yeah.
Fire Scott Strickland. And I
right
say
now
that,
you're like, man, that would have been fun.
And look, I'm not going to lie. I say that a little bit joking because Scott Strickland obviously made the right hire in Todd Golden, who if Shock wants, DJ Shockley wants to take shots as I get knocked off the air by what was a very heavy storm on the ocean yesterday. Is it basketball season yet? Yeah, well, when you win national titles in basketball, Georgia wouldn't know anything about that shot.
Here we go.
Then yes, but
here we go.
And I'm kidding. Obviously, Shock is my boy. You know, him and I go way back. But yeah, my revisionist history tells me it's a fireable offense. But in the moment, I 100% was with Scott Strickland because as much as I wanted Napier, I wanted changes. You can't just fire guys constantly. I don't think people understand how far it sets a program in college football back,
yeah,
and how far it sets an NFL team back when you constantly fire people.
Yeah.
When you constantly have turnover, that people work in a way that is not conducive to success. Just ask the New York Jets. Like, ask them why you're on. Well, when you fire the head coach every 2 to 3 years, you're going to suck.
Yeah.
It's how it works.
You also got to look at the fact that, you know, Billy Napier did beat Lane Kiffin last year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I mean,
what month was that in?
It was in November. And guess where it was?
Get that thing, get sideways.
In Gainesville.
Yeah, there you go. Which maybe that's when that conversation was going to happen with the boosters. We got to get a break here in just a minute, but real quick before we do, man, I'm just telling you, I'm on level 11 in terms of this Bama-Georgia game tomorrow. Level 11. And I don't even know. I talked to y'all early in the week about my confidence level. I talked to you about how I feel about Georgia. I talked to you about how I feel about Kalen DeBoer. The psychoanalysis, as we brought it up this week, and Allie brought it up about you know, what Kirby Smart is in these situations. This is a big one, man. This is a big one.
Oh, really? Well, I guess this is bad timing, but Amy and I are obviously coming home I'm starting to call her Smiley because she smiles all the time.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, you know, Mike and Lindsay haven't met the baby. You think they want to come over Saturday night?
Yeah,
And meet
That's
Mel?
Not happening.
And I said, yeah, I bet we could do a little dinner party.
I'm not even hanging out with my wife. My wife's birthday is tomorrow, dude. Her birthday present, I want to go hang out with my friends, and I want you to stay home with the kids and watch football.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I know. I was like, okay, sure. You know what I mean? I'll look. Give the kids iPads and milk. Like, hey, y'all go upstairs.
There you have it, Dylan. Mike turned down the chance to meet my kid again.
There you go. Yep. You keep doing it on Saturday night during Bama Georgia.
L friend.
It'll keep happening.
Oh, man. No friend.
All right, man. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we are going to break down more of that Atlanta Falcons-Washington Commanders matchup. We don't know just yet who's going to be playing quarterback. Jeff Ulbrich spoke on it yesterday about the uncertainty at quarterback. You're not going to want to miss that. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 6:24 a.m. It's the Boys Club Edition. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan Matthews hanging out with you this morning, getting you set up. It is a Falcons Friday. I'm getting you set up for all the college football, the Ryder Cup, which tees off, and what did I say, about 45 minutes from now?
Friday.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
it's a Fair Foul Friday as well. Dylan hosting Fair Foul later. You
That's
ready
right.
for that?
I'm born ready. Okay, always cool. ready.
All right, cool. That'll be a fun edition of Fair Foul Friday as well. Before we get into this Falcons conversation, I have to read you guys this Baker Mayfield quote that came out of his conversation with Mark Sanchez yesterday. Get your feel on this, because we do live in the South. I do find a sense of pride. I did when I was in college, of playing in the South in the heat. And Baker Mayfield kind of talking about the advantage of playing in the heat. He's like, you know, we'll have a good game plan. We'll try to tire them out. We're in Tampa, the heat. They're not going to be used to that. I heard stories about them coming down a week early or a day early. I'm sorry. And he's talking about the Jets coming down a day early. Honestly, I don't think that's going to help them. One day is not going to get you acclimated to this humidity. I think it makes them think about it more when you get down here earlier. I tend to agree with him, man. Like, I tend to agree with Baker Mayfield. He's like, just coming down for one day early because of the humidity does absolutely nothing for you. It's going to be more of a mindset problem than anything.
He was talking about the Jets or the Eagles.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's talking about the Eagles.
I was going to say because
I don't know why I was thinking Jets because it was with Mark Sanchez.
Well, just played the Jets, and I was like, I don't know how they. I mean, that game actually played out to where it didn't look like it. You know, it hurt the Jets.
I'll say this. Tampa does seem fresher at the end of the games than any of the opponents they've had. They've had three comeback wins.
Two of those were played in domes.
Yeah.
But does Baker not understand that it's hot in Philadelphia and New York right now, too? Like, it's not.
Yeah, but it's not humidity like that. It's 90 degrees. The forecast is 90 degrees in Tampa, and the heat index is going to get over 100.
I know, but all these teams went through training camp. Like, it's not like. Arch and I have had this conversation about the weather, and like it's really more of a cold weather thing. And he's like, he goes, yeah, I guess you're used to it, but you know, you don't like playing in cold weather if you're
right. Either way,
no matter where you play, you don't want to play you don't want to play when it's extremely hot or extremely cold. Like, you know, the used to it thing is one thing, but I mean, like, it's also not like.
I just think it comes down to who's in better shape.
Right? I guess my point, yeah, and I guess my point with the whole thing is it's not like it is December and the Eagles have been practicing outside or indoors for the last, you know, they're still practicing. It's still hot outside. They're still playing hot games.
Yeah.
Like, I know the humidity is one thing, but I don't think it's that much different
yet.
I guess, you know. I don't know. I appreciate Baker. I do like Baker Mayfield, actually, but I hope they lose this weekend.
Same.
I mean, look.
Need them to slow up a little bit.
I never pull for Dylan's team, the Eagles, but I will say this, like the fact that they're playing Tampa, I wouldn't mind them.
I was literally about to say, it sounds like we're all Eagles fans this weekend.
I just would rather see Tampa Bay lose.
I tried.
All right. Hey, let's pivot. Let's talk about the Washington Commanders against the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons, obviously, rough game offensively when talked back to last Sunday. We talked about it till we were blue in the face yesterday, and we'll get to more of the pistol conversation here in just a little bit.
Yay.
Zach Robinson on the sideline here in just a little bit. Unfortunately, yes, we are still talking about that. And, you know, I think Dan Orlovsky came on, you know, Turtle Show last night and had a couple of good comments about the way he feels about the pistol. Some stuff I don't agree with, which we'll cover later. I do want to get real quick, though, to the quarterback matchup. And Jaden Daniels is limited. It's kind of – you kind of got the hokey-pokey thing going on with him and Terry McLaurin. Like, some people feel like they're in, some people feel like they're out. I've made the comment multiple times, and I know that we've had this conversation on this show. I feel like Marcus Mariota is going to be a part of the game plan regardless. I don't think you just – you know, I just don't think you have Jaden Daniels as, you know, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't, and then he just takes over and plays every single snap. Marcus Mariota was good in the run game a week ago. I want to play this cut. This is Jeff Ulbrich talking yesterday about the uncertainty at quarterback for Washington.
It does, a little bit from the standpoint from the passing game, because they're a little bit different passers. I really believe this team, they make their money with their run game, and whether that's the run itself or what it sets up or the RPO off the run game, that is going to be the same regardless. Jaden ran that at a high level in college, and he's run at a high level at the Commanders. Marcus Mariota, everywhere he's gone, he's run at a high level. I've had experience with him at the collegiate level and the professional level, so I'm getting sick and tired of playing against him. He's a pain in the butt. You know, he's a better athlete than you want him to be. He can run that offense at a high level. So regardless of who we face, it's going to be a tremendous challenge.
I love that he talks about the run game there. And you brought this up earlier in the week. They come out. They go heavy. They go unbalanced. They're doing all the stuff in the backfield. They're running the pistol formation, which is crazy
How many yards back is the running back?
Yeah. 7.5. The running back is back in the backfield, which is, you know, it's just kind of a funny caveat when you have this conversation day in and day out. Cliff, I asked yesterday, how many Falcons fans would take Cliff Kingsbury right now as their head coach? And we had different theories, but it's just funny because you're going to see the running back at 7.5 yards if that's the case. Yeah, it's just funny.
Yeah, there's some people in this city and in the national media that apparently do not know how many yards back a running back lines up in the pistol. But we're not the only ones that line them back 7.5 yards. But Ulbrich, to get out of Shotville and get to the reality, is Ulbrich is right. They're the second best rushing team in the league right now through three games at 157-yard clip. Last year, they ran the ball for they beat us because of the ability to run the ball down our throats, 216 yards. And not only the ability to run – really not even the ability to run the ball, but the ability for the quarterback to run the football. Yeah. And a lot of that were drop back. If your first read wasn't there, go. Because we were getting home with an anemic pass rush last year, as we had, even late where it was better. Late in the season, it was much better, but still not great. Jake, we were getting home, and the grand adjustment at the second half by Cliff Kingsbury was Jaden just take off.
Yeah. Hey, if you just drop back.
If your first read's not there, if you have time, go to your second.
Yeah.
And if your second read's not there, run.
Yeah.
Also, if your first read's not there and you feel a little bit of rush, go. And that's what he did, to the tune of 127 yards. So he's so right. In fact, their leading rusher as far as the running back department is no longer even on the team as far as in this game last year, which was Brian Robinson. But Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt has been very good. If I had to take a bet right now, if he said, "Bo, here, you have to go on this bet," I would tell you that Jaden Daniels plays and Terry McLaurin doesn't. Yeah. That's what I would say.
I agree with that. Caden Ellis also spoke yesterday, and he was asked how he approaches a week where he's really not sure who's going to be playing quarterback.
Just prepare. It can be either of them. And one of the cool things is they're both really athletic. They both got great arms. And obviously, Jaden's a special young player. If he's up, then reverse him last year, go out and get some stops. And reverse him Marcus, he's also a special player, go out and get some stops.
They are leading the NFL, Bo, at 5.7 yards per carry. Now, Atlanta's defense, the ability to stop the run, way improved through three games from where it was a year ago. We're at 96.3 yards per game on defense. They are second in the NFL at 157. Something's got to give. How confident do you feel that what we've seen from the first few weeks in terms of our run defense can continue to be carried over into this game?
I feel really confident because, again, I feel like a lot of – look, they want to – they're going to try to stress you in the running game. But the reality is like a lot of that is with the quarterback. And I think that we're better suited these days to do that. It's different. You can talk about the Baker Mayfield thing, but it's different when it's a scramble drill and it's an elite caliber guy. If Marcus Mariota is back there, sure, he's good at running the football. I don't think he's as good with his pocket presence scrambling as a Baker Mayfield. Call me crazy. I don't. I think he's better out of the pure running RPO stuff. I think Jaden Daniels is the better guy as far as the pocket presence runner. I think, ability, escapability.
Yeah.
Jeremy McNichols last week had 4 carries for 78 yards against the Raiders. And primarily, 40, 50 of that was off one run where there was about 4 missed tackles, including Max Crosby missing a tackle on that run. So their running game, their numbers are a little bit bloated. I'm just not – but, see, I also go back to the fact that if Jaden Daniels – and you talk about you think Mariota is going to be used, I'm not so sure that they're going to play revolve-the-door quarterback. Maybe here or there with a 3rd-and-2 type of situation. But how eager is Jaden Daniels going to be to scramble? And how eager are they going to be to run RPO with him? With him if he plays with – the fact that he's struggling with a knee injury and it is only week 4.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. I just think that, like you're talking about, when it comes to some of these situations, I think it would make the guys like Caden Ellis think just a little bit. If you're putting Marcus Mariota and you're like, okay, what are they doing here? And then maybe you think it's going to be a rundown. Maybe he can beat you with the pass. I think it just adds an extra layer. And we just heard from Jeff Ulbrich talk about it. It's like, dude, it's a challenge. Both of them are good. Both of them are athletic.
Look, let's be real. These guys are still coaches, and they still have egos, and they still have fear. And they are going to be way less, I feel like, less likely to throw the football with Mariota if Jaden Daniels is starting and healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're going to put him in there on third and two. And now, if they did, it'd be ballsy because I don't know how much you saw what you thought about this, but I thought that even with as well as he played, Mariota put the ball in harm's way quite a few times as far as maybe don't try to fit it in there or maybe don't throw that ball there. But he did, and he got away with it.
Yeah.
Is he going to get away with it this week? Because we got a three ball hawks in that secondary.
Yeah, I agree with it. We got to go to break, man. We come back. Look, there is a lot of road dogs in college football this weekend. Road underdogs. Who's taking them? We're going to have that conversation coming up on the other side. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the Morning Shift. My name is Mike. His name is Bo. It's a Boys Club edition of the Morning Shift. And all's well, man. We're getting ready for an incredible week of college football, of NFL, of Ryder Cup. We'll get to college football in just one second. Let me ask you this question, Bo. If I had to make you choose, and I know that this is not a possibility for you because you and I are going to work on Sunday covering this Atlanta Falcons Washington Commanders game. We'll be live on the network at 11 o'clock, 2 hours prior to game time. If I told you you could watch only NFL, only college football, or only golf this weekend, and you had the opportunity for the next 3 days to sit down on your couch and do just one, which one are you picking?
College football. College football, easily.
Wow. I thought for sure you were about to say Ryder Cup.
No. I love the Ryder Cup, man.
I do too.
I really do. I absolutely love the Ryder Cup. It's such a fun thing, but it is a adult bow thing that I got into. Like, obviously playing golf. I never played golf in my entire life.
Yeah.
Until I graduated college.
Interesting.
And it was the first time I ever played. And then I only.
So when you were 27?
No, I was 25. Pew pew. Then I only played it like here and there until, you know, really COVID hit. And then that was when I was like, I would like to get like kind of serious about golf. And some people are like, so you're some people that play with me, they're like, so you're serious about golf now?
Yeah. 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 Are you like me though, when it comes on TV, that's when you get the itch?
No, when I watch it on TV, I'm like, oh, I should try that. This is, and I try to
mine
take
doesn't
lessons.
Look the same.
I try to take lessons from them. I'm like, oh no, dumb. But college football has always been my favorite sport.
Yeah.
It's always been my favorite.
It's a good one.
Because I consider it different than the NFL. I know that sounds weird, but I they're both football, and I love them all encompassing. I love the sport of football all encompassing, but like college football has always been the one I could watch more. For some reason, it's easier for me to watch all these different college football games than the NFL. I don't know if it's the pageantry of the sport, it's the crowds, I don't know. But to me, I can literally turn on college football preview stuff at like 9 or 10 a.m. and then watch it till, you know, I either pass out in my chair,
yes,
with a drink in my hand,
yes,
or
fingers folded,
have to go to sleep.
Fingers folded,
yeah.
Like we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
The old tryptophan set.
It's just like for me, Kyle. Like this weekend, I'm really excited about the Falcons game.
Yeah,
but
kind of goes in wheeze and woes for me. I have seasons in my life where it's like, oh man, this is number one sport for me. This is number one sport for me.
I mean,
this is not. I grew up; it was baseball and NASCAR. Then I played college football, and I was like, yeah, college football is the GOAT. And I played NFL, and I was like, NFL is the GOAT.
let's say you're going to watch Falcons Washington at 1 o'clock, right?
Okay.
So that's the only game at 1 o'clock you can watch. I'm not going by this whole red zone. You got three TVs. Nope. You got one TV and you're going to watch Washington Falcons because that's what you want to watch.
Yeah.
What's the other game that you really, really want to see? That is a different time. Like, because I'll go through you. The 4:05 game is Colts Rams, Jaguars Niners, Ravens Chiefs, Bears Raiders, and then the Sunday night game is Packers Cowboys. And for some reason they're doing another doubleheader on Monday night, which is Jets Dolphins or Bengals Broncos.
I like the doubleheader. I like the doubleheader when it's just offset by like what 45 minutes. Is that what they're doing?
7:15 and 8:15.
There you go. I love that, dude.
I think it's kind of.
I love it. It probably doesn't make sense from a broadcast perspective, but anyway.
The combined record of the four teams playing on Monday Night Football is 2-7, 3-9.
Cool. Don't care.
Brutal.
Don't care. And you just mentioned that I'm going to be watching the Falcons game anyway, so the record's not going to play into it either. All right, here's your reminder. Each Wednesday night, join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 929 The Game. A massive slate awaits us, and it starts tonight. You get the ACC game, 7 o'clock tonight. Florida State, who is number 8 in the country right now, taking on Virginia at Virginia. You also get a Big 12 game. TCU, number 24, TCU, taking on Arizona State. That's in Tempe. Arizona State favored in that one, but Florida State obviously will be the favorite on the road at Virginia. So a lot of craziness going on with that. And then you get back to it Saturday morning with Tech and Wake Forest, followed by the big noon kickoff, USC, Illinois.
I got a trivia question for you.
Go ahead.
Who was Florida State's first ever ACC loss?
Florida State's first – what year was it?
1995.
Okay. I'm guessing it's got to be Virginia since you brought it up.
Yeah, it was on Thursday night.
I don't know. Who was Florida State's quarterback in 95? I should know because I was a Florida State
fan. I think it was Danny Cannell.
You think so? Was that before Charlie Ward's time?
No, Charlie Ward was 93 Heisman.
Okay.
93 national title.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Team.
I'm flipping those backwards.
But I'm pretty positive.
I was
that,
so young back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, it was 95. It was, and that was the Barbers were playing that game. Warwick Dunn played in that game.
Mm.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to find out the quarterback, but I'm pretty sure it was Danny Cannell. It could have been. No, you know, yeah, I'm almost positive it was Cannell because, like, the Thad Busby era was, like, the 96.
Wow, there's a name for you, Thad Busby. All right, so we talked about it a minute ago. You got some road dogs that are going to be taking the field this weekend. LSU at Ole Miss. Are you surprised to see that Ole Miss is favored in this one by 1.5? I was kind of shocked to see that. I think that kind of piques my eyebrows just a little bit. 1.5 favorite, Ole Miss obviously not ranked nearly as high as LSU. LSU has issues, though. LSU can't run the football, or they don't try to run the football, but I am a huge believer in LSU's defense. I will be surprised to see what happens. It's the first road dog, though, I wanted to talk about. That's the 3:30 game on ABC, kind of the feature, if you will, in terms of ABC, LSU at Ole Miss.
It's not just the it's not just the guys on the field or their defense. The schemes that the kind of things that their DC, and his name escapes me right now, but the things that he's doing with his coverages, he is completely confusing college quarterbacks because of the way they're doing things that is concept-wise is almost like kind of an NFL feel to it.
Yeah.
And he's able to pull it off, Mike, without kind of confusing your – you know how sometimes, like, remember Todd Grantham goes from – he comes to Georgia as a DC, and there was this whole thing about – and then he went to Florida and failed with a DC, and he went to Miss State as well. And everybody was like, it's too complicated. Like – simplify the defense because they could never line up. It was like they're always out of place. So whatever the LSU DC, I got to look at
Blake Baker's his name.
Yeah, that Baker is doing, and Saban did a really good job before they played Florida of breaking it down.
Yeah.
He even showed like that when they had a linebacker in a green dog situation, how well the linebackers were playing it and how badly the other teams were picking it up.
Mm.
And if you don't know, the green dog is basically where a linebacker is got the running back unless he blocks. And if the running back engages in blocking, the linebacker now becomes a blitzer.
Yep.
And he immediately goes. So it's called a green dog, or green dog or something like, you know.
It was a green dog. Yeah, you're
and
right.
So,
it's a trigger blitz. You can go whatever you want to call it.
And Saban did a really good job breaking it down, but the safety looks and the secondary looks that he's showing these guys, that's why dude, you can say whatever you want about Lagway, but he either hasn't been coached up at Florida enough or he was they were so unprepared, which is a Napier thing, for what the coverages he was being shown, that he was either that or he was just forcing everything. But I tend to believe, and even Saban said that Lagway was going to have trouble picking up what they were doing.
Yeah.
So give Baker all the credit, because Brian Kelly's offense is not at the level their defense is. I know that was a long tangent. I apologize. But I'm kind of excited about what I saw from their defense, because it's not really college stuff.
Yeah, ought to be a fun matchup. Like we talked about earlier, Ole Miss is going to start Trinidad Chambliss in that game, the Ferris State transfer, which is really interesting to kind of keep track of. I talked about road dogs. How about this one? Oregon taking on Penn State in Happy Valley, the whiteout. That's a 7:30 game. That atmosphere is going to be on 12. That place is going to be rabid. Oregon, a 3.5-point dog on the road. Here's where I'm at with this game, and I think you probably agree. Until Dan Lanning proves to me that he's worse in these games than James Franklin, I'm going to have a hard time picking Penn State. I think I heard the stat earlier today or yesterday, they both have the same amount of top 10 wins in their careers. Dan Lanning's been at Oregon, what, 3 years? And James Franklin's been there like 12.
I think this is year 4.
So,
let me ask you.
Yeah, I think they both have 4 top 10 wins.
If Penn State beats Oregon, should they jump over Ohio State for number 1 in the country?
Depends on what it looks like. If it's a complete win, absolutely. If it's a field goal after a pass interference, I'll have trouble with that.
What if it's the equivalent of how the now number 1 team in the country, Ohio State, beat Texas? What if it's very much like
decisive? It was decisive.
But
it wasn't a runaway, but it was decisive.
No, yeah, but Texas. Well, it was decisive defensively, but offensively, I thought Ohio State struggled.
For sure.
Almost as much as Texas did in that game.
Yeah, Julian Sain was not great in that game.
Well, can I ask you, I don't want to go off tangent too much, but we haven't got a chance to touch on this. What was your thought process on Arch Manning against Sam Houston, I believe it was?
Flexing?
Yeah, where he runs the guy.
Loved it.
So you liked him. You liked him showboating and flexing over a lesser team, and I just felt like I was like, have some humility.
Here's why I liked it, and you might not have seen this part. I don't know how much of this game you watched or like down to down.
I watched a little bit here and there, but not a lot.
Okay, go back about 6 plays prior. Somebody tackles him and does the exact same thing to him. So I don't know if it was the same guy, but it was one of their defenders stood over him and flexed. That's why Arch Manning did it when he got to the end zone. He gets the end zone and he's like, nah, dog, y'all ain't going to do that to me. You ain't walking in here flexing on me. From the aspect of everything he's been through and the fact that it is Sam Houston and they just flexed on him a minute ago, if that was a Bama guy and I was watching Bama play, I'd be like, no, man, you ain't letting that happen. All right. I like the fact that he was like, no, not in Austin, not in our stadium, not with everything else going on with his team. It's time for me to put my foot down and let you know what time it is.
I have no clue what the line's going to be when they take on Florida next week in the Swamp.
Be an interesting line.
I would take Florida in the points.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's,
I don't know if Florida wins the game. I don't know if Florida wins the game, but what I've seen defensively from Florida, they'll hang in there.
I think you're a good person to ask about this, and obviously we got to get to the Alabama-Georgia game. I think you're a good person to ask about this game because you're not a Georgia fan, you're not an Alabama fan. I obviously wear the crimson, and I wear it proudly. I'm curious who you would take. Georgia is a 3-point favorite. This is another road dog in the top 25. Alabama is a 3-point underdog in Athens. I just talked about the atmosphere that Penn State's going to have. I expect the same thing from Georgia. I think this atmosphere is going to be on 12. Rusty talked about it yesterday. Shock talked about it yesterday. Everybody's going to be down there. Everybody's looking for this. I don't even know a get-right game, but it seems ridiculous to say that about Georgia in a home game. But I think that people will just want Kirby to finally exercise that demon and get on the right page. If I held your feet to the fire, who do you like in this game? Because I think both teams are flawed.
I would say Georgia solely for the fact that they're at home and they have the advantage of head coach.
Yeah.
And that is not a knock on Kalen DeBoer, even though everyone wants to just murder the guy. I just think Kirby Smart is right now the best coach in the country as far as active coaches. And
I agree.
He's tied with Dabo in national titles. Dabo is clearly let the program has slipped under him. Kirby is the guy that just Kirby just wins big games. This is the one. He's 1-6, I think you said, against Alabama. The one is for a national title on a neutral field. I don't know if he's ever been the head coach. If it's to my knowledge, he's never been the head coach of Georgia with a home game against Alabama. I think Ty Simpson's the better quarterback right now. I think Gunnar Stockton is very close. I think Ty Simpson's much more comfortable playing quarterback, and he can move.
Can he stop from being rattled is my main question. Ty Simpson keep himself from being rattled?
I didn't feel like Ty Simpson was rattled at Florida State. I felt like everything else was wrong in that team. I don't think they did anything right. In fact, Ty Simpson was the only bright spot in that game in Tallahassee.
Might have been. We'll be talking about that one, obviously, throughout the show today. When we come back, though, we're going to talk more about this Falcons matchup with the Commanders. Jeff Olbrich was at the microphone yesterday. He had a word that probably made Falcons fans feel a little bit jealous, inadvertently. We'll play that on the other side. Stick with us. The Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.